So that's it. The fantasy season is done. We relive the highs and the lows. I reflect on that Cole Palmer decision. Jules is reminded of the importance of deadlines. And Sam even sent us some little gifts in the post. Well, that is it. 38 game weeks, 380 matches, 1,115 goals, of which Mo Salah was involved in 47, earning him both the Playmaker and the Golden Boot Awards as he helped Liverpool win the title. The season is over. FPL has finished for 2024-25. We're going to miss it, but there is so much for us to look back on. Kelly Summers back with you a slightly different day of the week on a Tuesday with the Review podcast. And as always, joined by Julian Laron and Sam Bonfield. Sam, are you feeling empty yet?
Detox. You're in detox.
Well, if you're FPL family, what do you do when FPL stops is my question.
You're just a family, normal family.
We actually did a family thing today, Kels. We went to the cinema. I didn't know what to do myself, no football. It's like, okay, what should we do? Let's go to the cinema. We've got to watch something. It's always a little bit odd this point, isn't it? Because it's like, what do you do now? Because you can review it a little bit. And obviously we did that on the FPL family stream on Sunday evening. But then once you've talked about it, it's like, oh, let's have a couple of weeks off and then it won't be long, Kels. You know what I'm like. I'll be starting to think about what's going to happen next season within about all of that 5 minutes, maybe.
Okay, well, for the next 40 minutes or so, we are here to review it all, to look back on the highs, the lows, for which there are many, if your name is Kelly, but also to kind of embrace what has been so brilliant about this season and maybe take forward some learnings for next season. Shall we start by just looking at the final day? Because everyone will be wondering what happened. How did it finish? We'll start with our mini league then, because it was very tight at the top. Ian had gone above Sam. Sam wasn't too worried because Spurs have won the Europa League.
Yeah.
But the good news for Sam is not only has she got the Europa League, she also beat Manchester United supporting Ian, giving him the double whammy in a week. Sam finished on 68 points last week, so 2,500 overall. That's a nice round number to finish on, isn't it, actually? Ian finished on 59 points, 2,492. I finished dismally 2,409, but importantly, above Jules. I got 53 points for the game week, while Jules got 43 points, finishing on 2,380. So in the end, I did get 29 points above Jules, so I managed to extend that buffer, but it was a little bit more close than I would have liked it to be. Let's talk about what we did in game week 38 to get to that point. Then Jules, I'll let you go first. What changes did you make?
Yeah, I didn't want to go with Gvardiol and Edison for Manchester City simply because I got burned against Bournemouth 3 days before and I was like, oh, I don't want that to happen again, although I had a good feeling they would keep a clean sheet, but still. So I brought in Kivior for Gvardiol, thinking there's no way Southampton could score against Arsenal, and they had one shot only, and they scored a goal, which was driving me mad, really. I was on French TV, which you didn't have on English TV, but you had like a goal show where every time there was a goal somewhere on one of the Premier League games, they would go to it. So you would come across everything, which was great for FPL. Mm. Not great so much if you own Kivior or an Arsenal defender, but it was good. And then I knew you would probably captain Salah. So I felt I had to do something just a bit different. Yeah. And I went with Alexander Isak, and I thought Isak could have a very good game against Everton, even if he was not fully fit, because we all thought that Newcastle would do well. And actually, it was one of Newcastle's worst performances of the season. And Isak was terrible, despite a couple of decent shots. So in the end, also you, Captain Salah, and getting the 20 points when I only got 10. And obviously Isak blanking was not the best thing I did this season, to be fair.
Yeah, and also me bringing in Jared Bowen helped me out a little bit as well. So I think Bowen and the Salah coupled together kind of got me over the line against you. Sam, you, once again, this is getting a bit weird now.
No.
We didn't speak. You thought I was going to do KDB to Saka. To be honest, I thought you would do that as well. I know you've got a thing about Jared Bowen, but I didn't think you'd actually bring him in. So when I saw you post online that you'd done that as well, I was like, what? We literally did the same transfer again.
Again, yeah.
We did, yeah. And it was really weird because you're right. I was absolutely, my planned move all week was KDB to Saka. And I did the Sky Sports News fantasy show on Sunday afternoon. And one of the questions that came to me was about Jared Bowen. And one of the questions that came to me was about Saka. So I prepared these two answers and I gave the answers. And as I'm giving the Saka answer and I'm talking about how poor he's been recently and how he hasn't returned in FPL, and I'm standing there thinking, why on earth am I going to bring in this guy when I've just spoken so lovingly 2 minutes ago about Jarrod Bowen? So we came off air and I spoke with the guys that were doing Soccer Saturday. And then I was like, sorry, guys, I just got to go and make a transfer. So I'm literally making a transfer walking off the set. Went off and I had my little one with me at Sky on Sunday, and I went and got her out of the gallery and she was all happy. And we came back and Lee went, oh, Sam, this was post deadline at this point. He was like, KDB's benched. And I was like, oh, there's a bullet dodged. And then he said, and so is Saka, thinking that that's the transfer that I'd done, because that's what I told him I was going to do. And I was like, oh, dodged two bullets in one there. And he was like, what did you do then? And I was like, well, I brought in Jarrod Bowen and I handed him the captain's armband as well, just because, you know, got to have faith in those that you love, Kels, right? So in comes Jarrod Bowen, gets the captain's armband. I was very, very happy with him on Sunday afternoon. But yeah, and it was, I was saying to the guys before we hit record, I was a bit stressed on Sunday afternoon, because at one point, just before Salah scored that goal, I was inside the top 100K. I was beating Lee and I was so pleased with myself. And then Salah decided to ruin my little party that I was having by myself. And yeah. Lee beaten by 3 points in the end, so I was not happy.
That's got to hurt.
That is pretty brutal.
Yeah, it hurt a lot.
I'm going to let my cards on the table. This is the worst season I've ever had by some distance. I'm not blaming either of you. I know why it's happened. I've just made some silly decisions. I've overthought. I was speaking to the fantasy show producer and he said he thinks I just overthink my decisions sometimes. I don't just stick with what I want to do. And it's right. Yeah. I try and second guess. I try and get too many people's opinions. So I'm not going to be doing that next year. We'll talk about what next year a bit later. But I feel like in general, it's been quite a tricky season. I feel like actually Game Week 38, Sam, summed it up, because we did it on the fantasy show earlier where we looked at the FPL team of the week for Game Week 38. And other than Jarrod Bowen and maybe you could throw Jordan Pickford in there because he's reasonably highly owned, all the players that performed really well, we weren't expecting. The likes of Semenyo was really big for Bournemouth. We all thought it was going to be Evan Nielsen. It just felt like it was a tricky game week 38, and that kind of summed up the season.
Yeah. I mean, 38 is always really difficult. That's why I was saying to Jules, don't play your bench boost in 38, because you just get these unusual benchings. You get players that come from nowhere and return. It's incredible the amount of players that score their first Premier League goal on the final day because they get brought into the squad and therefore they get debut goals. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think actually Game Week 38 this year, it did kind of feel like it summarised the rest of the season, because this year it was really hard to find traction. It was really hard to get consistency. If you were on the right players at the right moments, then you got massive gains over everybody else. But it only took to be a week or two late and you missed out on hauls, and then you're kind of chasing your tail constantly. So it's been a challenging season, I think, this year, because I think the pricing was so brilliant at the beginning of the season. Mm. Everyone was priced so well that it made you make tough choices, and then it made you make even tougher choices as you went through the season while you were deciding who you wanted and who you didn't.
Yeah, and it felt like there was such a fine line between those decisions, and it just feels like we're going to talk about highs and lows in a minute, so I'll bring it up before anyone else does. Like the Cole Palmer one, for example, there was a massive swing there. It's felt, when I did that, certain things have swung so massively. How do you reflect on your season overall as a whole, Jules?
It's been tough as well, Kels, because we haven't done as well as we wanted. I've just loved every second. I think the show has been great. It's been really fun to be with you every week and to have all that little community with us. I think it was tough, and I think we've all made mistakes along the way. Some bigger than others, really. I think I kept Haaland for too long, for example, which is the biggest regret I probably have. Because I just thought at some point, the guy is too good not to turn it around, but he didn't really turn it around, and neither did City at that time. But it was also good, I think, for the show, because there was a lot of people in my position who also believed that Haaland would turn it around. So it was, I think it was great. It was a lot of fun. I love the assistant manager chip. I think it's a really good chip to have. I've loved the chips in general and what the strategy we use and you use and all the reflection about it. And yeah, I think once again, we had a lot of fun doing the show and having through the season, even if it was not the best finish that we've ever had, for example.
Yeah, I also think, Jules, your biggest problem half the time is you watch too much football. So you often pick the best footballers rather than the best FPL players.
That's very true.
Useful for this pod, because you tell us about things that maybe we don't notice and you can spot trends and things. But whereas Sam watches football, I'm kind of somewhere in between the two of you, I think. Sam watches football with such an FPL head on because it's what you're drilled into. Whereas Jules watches it in such a different way. And yeah, I guess it brings different strengths and stuff to it. But that's sometimes, and that's why, like last season, you had such a good season, I think, because
Yeah, it
you
worked
were
out.
Getting
for me,
ahead
yeah.
of the curve and you're picking the right
yeah,
players.
Absolutely.
But anyway, we could ramble on about that forever. I'm going to put you on the spot now and I want you to tell me your biggest high of the season personally. Sam, go first. I don't have one, by the way.
You, oh, Kelly, oh, come
you
on.
Must,
you
know
must
when you bought Cole Palmer? Oh, no, sorry.
There's my biggest low. The next question is biggest low. answer.
Sorry, I jumped the ship.
Right, let's talk about highest first then. Jose Sarr, I think for me, that moment, that Jose Sarr penalty save when, and I, Kelly, this is another low for you. I do appreciate
it. I was
going to
say, this is my other low,
not...
so thanks for reminding me because Sarr was on my bench for this wonderful game week that Sam had.
Yeah, it was game week 34. It was that free hit week where everything just went right, didn't it? But it was capped with the fact that Jose Sarr was a bit of a doubt heading into the game. We all took a bit of a punt on him, had him starting. He gets this penalty against him. He makes the save. Not only does he make the save, therefore get the save points for saving the penalty, but also maintains his clean sheet and Ait Nouri's clean sheet. And it was just like, for me, that is just right up there. I had a couple of others. The wild card, I don't know if you remember this one, but back in game week 11, when I used my first wild card, I punted on Bruno Fernandes and he got 17 points that week. It was like just a ridiculous return. And I think there are moments like that throughout the season that just were really, really good. And then a couple of absolute stinkers along the way as well. But more on that in a minute.
I'm looking down because I'm looking at my team on my phone to try and find any highs. I'm going all the way back through. I couldn't find any earlier, but I'm trying to look. Jules Waller.
Kirkes has got to be a high
for
you.
Kirkes is the only one because at the time I was like, oh, should I just go cheap and go for Housen? No, I'll go for Kirkes. And don't get me wrong, Housen would have been fine. But then the problem is I actually benched quite a lot of Kirkes' hauls, I think. So although I did benefit from him, I got ahead of the curve with him, but I didn't probably maximise what I could have done out of him. But yeah, probably him. I'm going to keep looking and keep hoping to find something. And in the meantime, Jules, if you could tell us yours.
So mine is also a bit of that game week 34 because we were working together at Wembley, remember, for the FA Cup semi-final and the reception is not always great at Wembley. So sometimes it took you a bit of time to get the result. And obviously the FA Cup semi-final between Palace and Villa was after the Premier League games. And so that it was fun to have the Jose Sarr and Cessinho who had the last minute goal too and Ait Nouri and everything that. Another high is when I captained Bruno Fernandes in game week 29 and he got 34 points. He got 17 and obviously 34. That was really good. There was also Cunha as captain in the same game week 34. So for all the bad captaincy that I've had, and I've had really bad ones this season, which really let me down, those two, game week 29 and game week 34, were very good in terms of captaincy. But yeah, that's pretty much all because it was not a great
and the triple
either.
Captain for you. The triple
yeah,
captain
but that
for you
was
brilliant.
That was a game week for Salah, wasn't it? I could not remember.
Yeah,
but
still.
I got Salah on 80.
Your chips, Jules, in the end actually worked out really
well,
didn't
with
they?
But yeah, 144 points for that game week 24 and Salah got 87 with triple captain. So that was pretty good. But I think a lot of
Jules,
people
your
had...
chips were good in the end because you were really far behind me. And I mean, it coincided with me having a bit of a wobble, but you used your, you waited to use your assistant manager, didn't you? You didn't use it at the same time as myself and Sam. And then you were kind of forced into having to use your triple captain, if I remember rightly. And or was it your bench boost? No, it was your bench boost that you then ran. Because you then had to use it in a single. And actually, your triple captain went really well. Your bench boost went really well. And I can't remember
the free
manager,
hits as well. Because the free hits.
Yeah.
The free hit was that game week 34. And then the first wild card, maybe not so much. The second was a little bit better later on in the season. But the assistant manager chip, like I said, Glasner got me 50 points 1 week. The week before, remember, they were 2-0 up at Manchester City and I was literally dancing half naked in my living room until they got battered 5-2 and it got me 2 points. But still, you know, I was about to dance, but no.
Okay, I still haven't really found any highs. Maybe bringing in Bowen this week instead of Saka. I don't know. But that was literally purely because of funds. So I kind of stumbled into that decision more than it being a good decision. Yeah, Kirkes I got on. I got on board early with Kirkes. Lowe's, I mean, there's been a few for me. I think other than Cole Palmer, if you listen to this podcast regularly, you don't need me to go over this again. I didn't bring in Cole Palmer. He was on my wild card. I then didn't put him on my wild card because these guys taught me out of it. I then sat on live television
and watched
Cole
Palmer
banging a hat trick.
Wait. Come on
I'm
now.
I'm not having
Kels,
this.
To be fair, I don't think we can take the blame for it. And we did feel bad about it.
No, but it's the story of my season, though. I follow people. I'm too easily influenced.
But we do feel bad about it. So we have got you a present. You can open it if you want to.
I should have known this was related to that. When Sam Bonfield asks for your address and then something arrives that you're not allowed to open. YouTube viewers, I'm not going to show you. Oh, no, it doesn't say my address. It says...
doesn't say your address.
Two cows, don't open this until we tell you. Lots of love, Sam and Jules. If this is a Cole Palmer shirt, it feels like a clothing item.
Yes. A T-shirt with his face on it.
What the heck am I going to do with this?
You have to wear it now. Just put it
wear
on.
Wear it. You have to wear it.
You have to wear it now.
You have to wear it.
What does it say?
Palmer. It says Palmer.
You remember when he did pretty well
again,
in that game?
Again.
You were again. So fuming. You were fuming that day.
Well, thank you. Do they actually sell this in the Chelsea club shop? Oh, I thought you had it specifically made. I was like, that is commitment.
I had to go and make an order in the Chelsea shop to buy that, which actually, as a Spurs fan, did not fill my heart with joy when it arrived in the post.
Take
but there you
in
are.
The nicest possible
can remember
way.
It
any,
now.
Any Chelsea Correct fans process. That listen to this podcast or watch this and want a Palmer t-shirt, it'll go to a good home. There you go. Get in touch. No, I'm joking. Thank you. It feels like that person has given me a lot of love. I'll wear it. I don't know when I'll wear it. I probably will just...
The pyjamas.
Wear it now.
Jesse has texted me saying, can you describe what it says? Are you taking the mickey, Jesse? But I have to say it again. It says, it is a blue t-shirt from the Chelsea club shop. And it says, Palmer, again, first goal was scored on 21 minutes. Again, 7 minutes later, 28 minutes. Again, oh look, only 3 minutes later, again. And then again, 41. Yes, he didn't know he scored a hat. No, he scored four, didn't he? He didn't just score a hat. Yeah. He scored four goals. Inside 20 minutes in the first half. That is what the t-shirt says. Is that good enough for you, producer Jesse? I hope so. There we go. Thank you so much for the kind gift. I love you both very much.
You're welcome.
Is that your lowest of the low? Yeah, probably.
That has to be the low.
Jose Sarr was almost comedic because I bought him in. I knew he was the best goalkeeping option for that week. But do you remember he was a bit of a doubt? So I should have just got rid of him so at least he wasn't sitting on my bench and it was happening. That was probably compounded by the fact that I was at Wembley. I saw Jules. I knew Jules had him. And yeah, it was just, that just compounded it all. So that's why that one feels worse. Also, but just in general for me, my biggest regret of the season really is selling Brian and Bummo just because his fixtures turned. Players like that. I sold Morgan Rodgers because I was like, oh.
Double game week fever.
Yeah, I was just doing it for the wrong reasons, getting off players at the wrong point, where sometimes you just have to trust your eyes and know that player is playing well. Just because everyone else is bringing in this player doesn't mean you have to. It's like I was a bit impulsive and a bit following the trends. Sometimes you just have to go with what you see and what you feel. So, and Palmer falls into that. Jose Sarr, not so much really. But yeah, Cole Palmer falls into that. Palmer is like the worst example of me being led. As we've said many times, I'm like a sheep. Anyway, I've ranted about my lows for about 4 or 5 minutes probably now. So who wants to go next with your low or your regret? Go on, Jules. Oh no, Sam's ready. Go on.
Mine's Haaland, isn't it? Game week 9, triple captain. And it's a real shame, that one, because it was brave to go early and not in a double game week, and it really did not pay off. And he did his best to ruin my weekend because I was on holiday, if you remember that weekend, and he tried his best to ruin it for me. I think that's probably my... When I was looking back, I was like, I've got a lot of bench points, but that's just standard me. Goalkeepers and me generally don't like each other, so that's always a bit of a problem. I think I need to do something in pre-season, make it up to all the Premier League goalkeepers so that they like me a bit better next season and we get a few more clean sheets together. Triple captain Haaland in game week 9 is definitely a regret. Because my other chips actually were decent this season on the most part. The assistant manager was good. David Moyes was my hero for that. Free hit was obviously good. The bench boost was a bit meh. But yeah, the triple captain was just horrible. So that was a shame.
Jules?
I mentioned him already, but keeping Haaland for just too long, thinking that he was going to overturn, like, or turn around his season and get better like City, and in the end neither of them got better at all, and that cost me a lot of points because there were some really good options instead, and I just kept believing that at some point it's not possible for him to keep blanking and not being good and City not being better, and they were not really better that October to November, even mid-December was pretty horrible. So I think that cost me a lot. And I also think that start of the season, we said that often, if you start well, I know you can always catch up a bit because there's so many games and so many points to be won.
It's harder.
Yeah, and you feel under pressure too, because you want to make up for the mistakes that you know you've made and could have easily avoided and you didn't. And so, yeah, so it was a bit of that. And I guess the other one is not to have believed a bit more in Mbeumo and Wissa, because when I look now at the incredible season, for the price that they would have cost you at the start of the season, and I know, Kels, you sold Mbeumo, but even Wissa, I feel like, deserved a lot of love and probably a bit more confidence for some, like a lot of our players, but somebody like me, I love them both. And yeah, I never actually had them in the team. So.
Yeah, I watched them. I actually went to Wolves Brentford Sunday and watched them live, and luckily had, I mean, I know Wissa didn't return, but I had them both in my team. And I did think, wow, these should have been mainstays in our team for so much of the season. I think sometimes we struggle to put two attackers in a team when they're not from like a big six kind of club. But I think sometimes you just, like I said before, you just have to go with who is playing well. And if they pass the eye test, then yeah, just go with them. But I'm sure lots of you listening have had similar regrets. Hopefully we've made you feel a little bit better about some of our low points. There's been a few. I know you're wondering, how did the FPL Pod Mini League finish? I've told you about our league, but you guys, congratulations to Max Littleproud, who holds his place at the top of the FPL Pod Mini League. He has been up there pretty much all season. He is our 2024-25 champion. He took a -4 to bring back Mo Salah and also brought in Evan Nielsen. Didn't quite work that one, did it? But he sold Sarr and Haaland, so actually it didn't work at all. But he finished game week 38 on 67 points and a total of 2,760 points for the season, which was enough to keep him at the top. He was 6 points ahead of Joshua Beaven, who takes second place. Like Max, Joshua has been up at the top end of the mini league for nearly the whole campaign. So really good to see you finish there as well. Joshua also captained Salah and bought Evan Nielsen as well this week, but he did transfer in Jared Bowen, which was, of course, a triumph. Third spot goes to Ian Roylance. He also captained Mo Salah. He sold Ezza for Luis Diaz. A big congratulations to all of our top three, and thank you to everyone who has joined our league for the 2024-25 season. Sorry if I haven't been able to read out your name this season. It means you haven't done that well, but maybe next season we'll try and
there's always next year.
We'll try and keep track a bit further down. Yeah, exactly. Do join in next year, because as you can see, we do actually keep track of it and we are cheering all of you guys on. Sam, is there a prize?
I think we do usually send a prize out.
That's what I was thinking. It feels a bit mean.
Yeah,
we do normally send out a prize. So we will check it. I'll check in with the production staff, I'm sure.
If not, producer Jesse, cut this bit out of the podcast.
Or we'll send them a Cole Palmer again.
Here you go, Max. Hope you're a Chelsea fan. This is on its way for you. If we can't get you something better, maybe you're a Chelsea fan. And in that case, we'll be really happy. Then. The other thing we do need to settle on this final podcast is, of course, drumroll please, differential of the season. Jules and Sam have been picking them all campaign. It's been hotly contested. They have argued each and every week, mainly because they've tried to pick the same person too many times and Jules only ever has one ready. But Jules, let's see how you did last week. I mean, you went for Evan Nielsen, Jules. Sam went for more
really
than twice. So,
really unlucky.
I mean, you say that every single week.
Bad as each other.
You're as bad as each other. Nice to end on a real high there. 2 points each. So that actually means that not much has changed in the differential standings. You both got the same number of returns. You both got 17 successful picks from 38 game weeks. You could do a bit better there. Sam, though, your differentials did return 28 points more than Jules's. So I think that does mean that you are the winner.
Sorry, Max.
I think you would like this t-shirt more.
This is going to your prize. Sam, well done.
You're going to send it back to me.
Sorry, for those of you listening, that is, of course, my t-shirt going to Spurs supporting Sam. Let's now pick, though, our best differential of the season. This is quite tough, and we've kind of been... We had a little chat on WhatsApp about this, and we threw lots of names in as well. So let's just throw a few names into the mix, and then we'll kind of reveal who I think we've probably settled on. A reminder, a differential is owned by under 10% of managers, but they don't have to have been a differential all season, as obviously the better they've played, the more they've become owned, and therefore they're not a differential. So we basically agreed that they have to have been a differential for most of the season. So for example, Morgan Rogers, he was only a differential for probably like 2 or 3 weeks. So we're not going to include him. So it's players that perhaps took a little while to find their groove and for us to all own. Go on then, Sam. Throw a name in first. Don't do the winner.
Okay. I won't do the winner. I think there's been a few actually, haven't there? And I think with differentials, it's hard because the very nature of a differential is that they're kind of good in parts. And I think that's the thing with Morgan Rogers is that we all kind of agreed in the end that he was just great, wasn't he, over the course of the entire season. But I think, like, when you look at blocks of the season, the two Bournemouth boys in Cliver and Kirkes have been phenomenal in points of the season and haven't really ever got to be hugely owned either. They've been partly, I think what you said earlier was correct, Kells. Like, the Cliver thing is, like, some people went for Semenya instead, some people went for Evan Nilsson instead. So there's a bit of a split in those attacking players. But with Kirkes, there were other options at the back. Like, you could have gone for Højsen instead or Zvani instead, and or you could have had the goalkeeper instead. So they never really hit those highs of ownership, but my goodness, did they deserve it. And particularly for me, Kirkes, I think, had a phenomenal season and is a player that I'm really interested to see price next year, because I don't think he'll be a differential next season. I think he'll be in a lot more teams than he has been this season based on how well he's done over the course of this campaign.
Only the best managers had the foresight to bring in Kirkes over the other Bournemouth defenders, is all I'm saying. Jules, throw a name in.
Jacob Murphy. I thought, like, there was this period in the season where he turned into prime Figo. Really, was outstanding on that right-hand side. And that was amazing because it's a team that has superstars, really, in Bruno and Tonali and Isak and even Gordon that you would think of before Murphy. And yet he was the star for a few weeks and brought a lot of really, really good points to the people who owned him. So I think we were really good at bringing him. It was a big differential for us, for the ones who owned him. And yeah, I think he deserves to be mentioned in this category for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to throw in Justin Cliver. Did you mention him, Sam? I don't think you did. Did you? You mentioned Kirkes.
Well, only just briefly. Go on.
Yeah, no, I just think that he has found a home at Bournemouth quite clearly, and yeah. I think he is a perfect Andoni Iraola player. And the way that's just in football terms, but I just think the fact that he got those two hat tricks and the fact that it, at times this season has felt quite hard to pick which Bournemouth midfielder. We've seen Semenyo kind of go on runs. I mean, we saw it in game week 38, didn't we? But Justin Cliver, for a while, was a really good player at his price point. He was a brilliant enabler in that midfield. And he just went on that run. Was it? I think it was around the time Bournemouth had those injuries as well. He kind of stepped up and was the main man. And I think them not having a central striker really helped him and in turn helped us, because he was a midfielder, often kind of given a slightly different role. And yeah, he was just, what was he? He was about 5.6 million, was he, or something like that? He was a little bit cheaper than other midfielders, I think, like the likes of Semenyo and stuff. So yeah, I think that he was brilliant value, and he was explosive
well.
At times.
Remember,
as
he was
well.
Great on penalties. Yeah,
pens.
Yeah. He was really riding the crest of a wave for a while. Then I think it was around, was it March, April time, he had some injuries, and then it kind of fell away a little bit. But if you had him, I think it was like January to March from memory, he was really brilliant. So yeah, there were some really great differentials in general at Bournemouth this season, I think, because we didn't expect that they would do quite as well as they did. Alas, none of these players are going to win, are they? Obviously, because we said we wouldn't go with the winners first. No. Who wants to reveal the winner? Go on, Jules.
I mean, the winner has to be Paris born and bred, really. You know, I think that helps him massively.
That's not the criteria.
That's why he's so handsome. And Johan Wissa, I think, deserves massively the differential player of the season. 20 goals, 3 assists, no penalties, by the way. So 20 goals without penalties when Salah scored 9 pens, when Mbomo scored 5 pens, for example, is even a better achievement. 184 points for Johan Wissa this season in FPL. Mm. It's remarkable, really, for what he's done for this Brentford team with his mate Mbomo. So I think his price tag, I think he started at 5.2, maybe, Sam, something like that. And he's now worth 5.6. He's worth every single penny that you would have invested in him.
I also think that the reason he's a really worthy winner is what you said before when we were talking about Mbeumo, Jules, as well. Sometimes he got a little bit overlooked. We all got a bit obsessed with Mbeumo, and perhaps we didn't want to double up on the Brentford attack. Yes, Brian Mbeumo got 20 goals, but he got 19. So I don't think we give him the credit, perhaps, because he's lived unfairly at times in Mbeumo's shadow a little bit. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the two made each other so good, and they worked, they've been playing together for a long time. They obviously are very good friends too off the pitch. And I think you saw that on the pitch. And yes, there's a bit of Damsgaard, there's a bit of Shadow for sure, but really it was them two that made this Brentford team going forward special. And I think it's rare outside of the top six or the big eight, if you want, whatever you want to call them, if you want to add Newcastle and Aston Villa to it. But you never see two of the forwards with 20 goals each, for example, you know, and that's never been seen before. So well done to Brentford and Thomas Frank for getting the best out of Wissa and Mbeumo, and for Wissa and Mbeumo to kind of complement each other so well and rely on each other so well to have those kind of numbers at the end, because I think Mbeumo has 7 assists maybe and Wissa 3-2 on top of their 20 goals each. It's remarkable. Great season.
Okay, Sam, do you feel he's a worthy winner?
Yeah, absolutely. I think with differentials, it's also harder to go for a forward because with the midfielders, you always feel like you've got a few more slots that you can play with.
Yes.
So you can bring in differentials. Whereas with the forwards, I think, you know, over the last few seasons, it's been right, well, one's locked out with Haaland. This season, one's always felt locked out with Isak. And then you've obviously had other players in and around the Chris Woods and players like that who have taken up that slot. And so that's made it much more difficult to invest in the likes of Wissa. And I think a lot of people felt like, well, I've got Mbeumo, so I don't need him. But actually, if you'd have had both for the large chunks of this season, you probably would have finished higher in your mini leagues than without him. And for me, that's what makes a differential so great. So yeah, the fact he's Paris born and bred is by the by, but the fact that he's just absolutely quality is the reason why he's the best differential of the season.
Okay, I feel like this might be the most obvious award that anyone is ever going to give out ever. Player of the season. I mean, in a season where we've had the player that's recorded the highest ever total in FPL, there's only one man that can have this one, Sam.
Yeah, I think it's quite obvious that Mo Salah is the player of the season, isn't he? 344 points. That's 108, by the way, more than the next best player in the game.
Sam, I feel bad saying this because he's had a remarkable season, but 10 weeks ago or so, we would have been expecting him to finish on even more, wouldn't we?
Don't get me wrong. The last 10 weeks of Mo Salah, I have not enjoyed.
No,
because I was expecting, to be honest, about 10 weeks ago, I was expecting to sit on this final pod and go, what an unbelievable achievement by Salah. Not only has he broken the FPL record, he's absolutely smashed it. The first player ever to hit 400 FPL points. That was what I was expecting to be saying at this point. But we kind of got stuck on 344, which...
still all right.
I feel... and it seems a bit mad, doesn't it, to say, oh, that's terrible, because clearly it's not terrible. It's a phenomenal season, but it does feel a little bit like, oh, that's a shame, because I'm not sure we'll ever get that close to having a player get us to 400 again. So yeah, player of the season, 100% for me.
Okay, then let's move on because we've got a different award here and this is called the Talent, Vision and Planning Award. In case you didn't know, that is, of course, Jules's catchphrase from last season when...
No,
not this
you
season.
Can't win when you came last
my
in the mini league.
I was just wondering if it was for me. Maybe I
He's
want
still
something
trying to
for...
dine out. Jules, you can't now say last season you had a really good season. It's now two seasons, like you've had a finish since. So you're going to have to almost forget about last season. Because it wasn't last season.
I can't. I will literally dine on it forever.
Oh, yeah, goodness. To be fair, I would as well. Yeah, we didn't want to have all the fun here, did we? So we've come up with a category that we want you guys to vote on. And this is about players that you wish you'd owned over the course of the season, but maybe you got them too late, missed the boat, missed out all their hauls, or you just didn't go for them. You thought, oh, it's gonna dry up soon and they're not going to come. And then you continue to miss out on hauls. We've all been there. Cole Palmer, yes. Who else? When's it happened to you this season, Jules?
Chris Wood, like I said many times on the show, I just thought, I thought at some point he was walking on water and he would fall into the lake because there was no way he could keep walking on the water. And yet he kept doing his scoring, overachieving in terms of expected goals. For example, if you love your stats and you look a lot at the stats, and credit to him for 32 years of age, a season like this in the Premier League, wonderful. So I just wished I'd got him in the team. We mentioned Mbeumo. Wissa Wood for me is a bit similar. I wish I had him on the team far more than what I did because he was outstanding from start to finish pretty much.
Sam, who are you going to throw in? Jarrod Bowen? Because I know you got him in game week 38, but you spent the whole season talking about him.
I did, but I think there was a player that I spent more of this season talking about even
Any Palace
than Jarrod
player?
Bowen.
Yeah, surely.
Well, that is true.
Palace.
Yeah, Daniel Munoz, I think for me, is my big regret because Jarrod Bowen, I feel like we kissed and made up in game week 38. We're happy with each other now. But Daniel Munoz, I brought him in on my game week 31 wildcard, promptly benched him, if you remember, for that haul that he bought that week. But I missed out on like 3 double-digit hauls from him. And every week it was like, oh, there goes another either Palace clean sheet or attacking return from Munoz. And I think his returns were part of the reason that I really struggled in that part of the season, kind of between Christmas and chip season, like from game week 24-ish onwards. So Daniel Munoz is a massive regret for me and someone I definitely should have just fixed much earlier on than I did.
I'm going to say Cole Palmer, but actually I did own him earlier in the season. And to be honest, I didn't feel like there was players I wish I owned because I just kept taking minus fours or I'd just do panic transfers to bring in the players that to try and avoid missing the holes. And then, yeah, so there's been a multitude of them for me. Not been a good season, as you can probably tell. So we're gonna now list our top four players that we wish we owned but missed out on points from. And they're the ones we've just discussed. So Daniel Munoz, Cole Palmer, Chris Wood and Jarrod Bowen. We're actually going to put a post up on X for you guys to vote on. So who you can basically decide who is going to get this season's Talent Vision and Planning Award for the 2024-25 campaign. So please head over to @officialFPL and cast your vote. Hopefully you've listened to our campaign. We've campaigned very well there for each of our players. And maybe you agree as well. Let us know. You can reply in the comments as well and tell us why you're voting for those players. Maybe you've got a painful story like my Cole Palmer one that you want to share. Not that there's another pod for us to read it on, but we'll enjoy reading it anyway. And now before we switch off for a few weeks, we do feel like it's probably a good idea to have a look to next season because it will come around very quickly indeed, won't it? First up, Mo Salah, we know he's going to be here next year. Is he still going to be the first name on our team sheet, Jules?
He's the player of the year, right? In terms of FPL as well. I don't think anybody has ever had so many points. I don't think anybody has ever had such an impact. 29 goals and 18 assists, 47 goals involvement. You said it at the start of the show, Kels. Just incredible, really. And yeah, if you look a bit deeper at the stats, I think his expected assist was 9.5. So this is to get 18 assists out of 9.5 XAs is a lot more than what you would have expected him to get. But it doesn't matter so much. Him and Liverpool were just so much better than everybody else. So he has been outstanding in 24-25. Can he be the same in 25-26? Why not? There's no reason why I think he would not be. And even if he slows down a little bit and only get 25 and 15 or 25 and 10, it's still very good. So I think he would surely be the first name on the team sheet.
Sam?
Yeah. I mean, I always like to start. I like to start with my premium assets and he's the most premium of them all. So I'll be starting with him as my first choice and then trying to fill up everyone else because I suspect he might go up in price as well, which will make it a little bit more complicated too.
Yeah, I'm wondering how we're feeling about the prices. And because it's really easy for us to sit here now and say, oh, yep, we want Mo Salah, we want Erling Haaland, we want Brian Mbeumo, we want Ollie Watkins, et cetera, we want Bukayo Saka, all of these players that have kind of either had good campaigns this year or historically have had good campaigns, but we just don't know how the pricing is going to go. So let's talk about that a little bit. And we'll have a little bit of a price prediction game. And then we'll refer back to it when the prices do come out and see if we were right. So what are we thinking about Salah's price? Is he going to go up even more? Because he is a midfielder. He's had this remarkable campaign. Normally when players have really good campaigns, they go up. He was priced less than Erling Haaland this year. For me, surely he's going to be priced at more than his price point. Sam, what are you expecting?
Well, it's a tough one, isn't it? Because I think in some ways you want to look at Salah and Haaland in combination with each other because I think the best thing to do would be to price them the same because I know that Salah's had a better season than Haaland this year and I would expect Haaland's price to come down a little bit on where he was last time around. But I also think that Salah deserves to go up. So I don't know. I think if they're both 13.5, that for me would be perfect because then you've got to make some choices. It's going to be hard to own them both, particularly as I think there'll be some other players that we want that will go up significantly as well.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, Sam. What do you think, Jules?
I've got no idea. I don't know. Yeah, maybe it could go up. Maybe not. Maybe, I don't even know how much
really
it cost at the start of the season. What was it? Yeah, 40 million it was or something like that. Yeah.
Right, Jules, you might remember this then.
Push him up a bit.
Let me put this to you. Erling Haaland started the season at 15 million. Is he going to go down given the season he's had?
Yeah, come on. That was a joke. Yeah, surely he has to go down. Yeah, we should all just relax. Just relax. Give him a 14.2 if you want. That's enough, I feel. I should do the pricing. I mean,
they've never started by 0.2. It's not 0.5.
Why not? Let's start in 2025 then. 14.2, I think, is good for Haaland. Let's agree.
It's not good for people that are bad at maths, though. It's simple if we just keep with round numbers and 0.5.
Well, that's for you, yeah. So how many points between you? 20... I can't count.
Okay, right, moving on. Let's go to the other end of the price spectrum, because we like looking at how much the premiums are going to cost. But if we want all the premiums, the other thing we need are some enablers, some cheap players to enable us, quite literally, to have those premium players. This year, Morgan Rogers, as we've already waxed lyrical about, was fantastic for us, and he was cheap. He was by far the best enabler, I'm sure we all agree. How much is he going to be this season, though, Sam? Next season, even? Is he going to be an enabler again, or is he going to go into the mid-price category?
6.6.
Let's Jules, start I'm not 6. Asking 6. You.
Jules!
It's just, I think 6.6 is great.
You're giving me flashbacks to this time last year. Do you remember this time last year when I said that I thought Cole Palmer was going to be 10.5, and Jules was like, no, he won't be more than about 7.5, and then what happened?
Yeah, like I'm doing my lobbying for the players, you know, for the managers on the game next season. I don't want those players to be too high.
I think Morgan Rogers is going to be at least 8.5.
Oh, that's a big price rise. That's 3 million,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that's punchy. That is punchy.
He has to be. He's got, like, if you think about him, he's got to start. Like, where Mbomo's, like, they've got to be in that, he's got to be in that Mbomo price point from right now, surely. He's just as good.
Well, how much do you think Brian Mbomo's going to be then?
Yeah.
10?
For one season at 20 goals?
Yeah.
I love him, but it can't be the same.
Jules, did you remember Cole Palmer?
Yeah, but Cole Palmer played for Chelsea and for England.
Yeah, I do wonder if it depends on what club the player is at.
I think Brian, the thing is, if he's under 10, if Kel's, all right, so if he's, say he's 9.
I would have said 8.59 would have been my guess.
6.8.
I mean, I don't have a clue, but.
No, I'm kidding.
8.5. If he's 8.5, I'll put him in my team before I put Salah in my team. Everyone will own him.
8.5 is fine.
All right, you mentioned Cole Palmer then. He was premium. He's still going to be premium, isn't he? Because I know he had a difficult, by his standards, second half of the season. But what intrigues me, Jules, and I'll come to you on this. You don't have to predict his price because you're clearly not enjoying doing that so much. But Maresca has had Chelsea playing a different way in the second half of the season. Was that just because they were trying to get over the line with Champions League football? They were a bit more defensive, and I'm wondering if that affected his role. How do you see his role in that Chelsea team? Is he going to be able to be as explosive as he was in the first half of the season, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. It was more down to the Nico Jackson injury for 3 months that I think also had a big impact on Palmer's form and the team's form in general. I think next season they should be more ready for any sort of injuries like that, because there was no really replacement for Nico Jackson after his injury. So I think they will be have a better squad, better constructed squad. They'll be ready for Champions League and for the league. And I think Palmer will still be at the heart of everything good they do going forward. So I don't think his price should go up. I think what this price was this season, whatever that was, 10 point something,
10.
Was very good. Yes, good. I expect the same from him next season, please.
Same, Sam?
Yeah, because actually, you know, he was still, the third highest scoring player in the game, 211 points, 15 goals, 10 assists. Like, he still had a good season. Just because he's dropped off in the second part of the season doesn't mean that he's had a bad season. I think we look at it negatively because over the last few weeks, we haven't seen that Cole Palmer that we did see for the whole of last season and for the start of this season. So, yeah, I think I can see him staying in at the 10.5 point. And that's why I think, you know, Brian Mbomo beat him for points scored this season, beat him for goals. So he's got to come in at around the same price, surely.
Okay. Any other players that you want to guess the price at now and we can look back on? Go on, Sam. Jules, I know, does not want to do this.
No, I can if you want this.
Jules isn't very good at it either, it appears.
I don't even know how much it costs in the first place, so let alone how much it would cost next season.
We noticed. I'm not sure you even know how much they cost right now. This is why your team value is not very good.
100.4.
But he does always seem to have an unlimited amount of money, doesn't he?
Yes, but I don't know where that money's coming from, because his actual team doesn't have a lot in it.
That's all you need.
Okay.
Sam, anything else you want to throw in now to look back on, or should we just move on?
I think let's just move on before Jules loses the plot.
Okay, well, in fact, I think this is actually the perfect way to move on, because we're actually going to move on and end the podcast. That is all we've got time for today. We've chatted through it all, haven't we? We've chatted through players of the season, differentials of the season. We've created a new award as well. We've looked back on the highs and the lows. And now it's time for us to all take a break. Jules, anything you want to say to the listeners ahead of the summer? Because they're not going to hear your dulcet tones for a few months. They're going to miss you.
They can, but if they have Channel 5, The Zone, ESPN, the BBC and TNT, they will hear and see me a lot in the next few weeks. Champions League final, Women's Euros, Club World Cup, you name it. I'll be on your screens, on your radio, everywhere, really. So it's good. You're not going to miss me too much and I'm not going to miss you too much. So thank you
for
listening.
I'm also going to set you some homework. I'm going to set you some homework over the summer. I need you to start, like, I don't know how you can really practice this, but you talked about your biggest regret of the season. I was a bit confused because the one thing you didn't mention was the fact that you miss a lot of deadlines.
No, not a lot. Once.
Yes.
No, it was way more than one.
I don't know how you can practice for this. And it was definitely, it was two or three times in a 100%.
Constant.
I don't really know how you can practice for this over the summer, but I need to find a way that you can, because this just can't go on, can it, Sam?
No, that's not. It's true. It's not very professional either. You know, like, I should not be forgetting. So,
I tell you what, did you get something in the post this week as well?
I did. Look, it says
this
Jules
might help you. You know.
Okay, so I'll open it now.
Yeah,
go on
now.
Okay. I wonder what.
For the purpose of people listening on the podcast, not watching on YouTube, Jules is opening a white envelope.
A big white envelope. And then it looks like
something in bubble wrap.
Oh, look at this. Can you see? It is a, how do you call it in English?
Well, press play.
Press play.
Press the play button.
Okay.
Julian Ron, please hurry up, get off the Eurostar. Stop trying to fit in five shows at the same time. We are the most important, just admit it. And you're at risk of missing the FPL deadline yet again.
It looks
again
like you were working in an airport, but you could be good for airports.
Great, there's a career if this all goes wrong.
Okay, that's amazing. Thank you so much. I can put my tea on it. Look, I can put also, I can use it for many. No, it's good, but I will always have it next to me. Just to remind
you.
It's a reminder.
It's got a little stand
reminder
on the back, Jules, so you
don't
can
lose
stand
it
next to you.
It's even better.
I would take it with me in France for the summer. So you don't miss us too much.
Yeah. You won't miss us now. You can look at us
all summer.
Do you know
what I thought when I said to Jules, is there anything you'd like to say to listeners? I thought he'd say something nice and heartfelt. He didn't. He just did a self-indulgent. Here's where you can watch me over the summer. Sam, anything you want to say to listeners?
I won't do that. I just can't wait to do it all again.
Please. This is the best thing I've ever got. This is the best present I've ever received. Kelly Summers.
Okay. Well, no one said anything particularly heartfelt, so I'll give it a quick try. I just wanted to say a big thank you to everyone that listens to this podcast, whether you listen each and every week or just once in a while. You guys are as obsessed, I think, as FPL as we all are. The support you give the pod is incredible. I know that Sam and Jules get it as well. Whether online or in person, you come up to us all the time and tell us feedback, good and bad. You sometimes say that you think I hate Jules, that I'm too mean to Jules, that we argue too much, no, that Sam talks about Spurs too much. We do take it all on board. We don't always change our ways. I change the habit of a lifetime. But it's been so much fun. And you guys really do make this podcast what it is. I had my worst season, as I said, in terms of points this year. And I'm really gutted, but not because I need to be good at FPL for my job, though it would help a little bit, because I actually really care about the game like all of you guys do. And as Jules has said a few times, Sam is really good at FPL. Myself and Jules try to be good at FPL, and last year Jules had a really good season, but sometimes we do make some quite monumental mistakes. And what I really love about this pod is we've kind of brought together a community, and we hopefully show you guys that it doesn't matter. You don't have to be the world's best FPL players to play FPL or to listen to this podcast. We all sometimes make the same silly mistakes, make the wrong transfer in, make the wrong captaincy decision, but at the end of the day, this pod is about enjoying it together, the highs and the lows. And I think we're all pretty proud of the fact that we've kind of built a little bit of a community. We're not just here to give you advice. We do try and do that as well along the way. But hopefully you've enjoyed listening to us and you've felt part of something, because honestly, the interaction we get on this pod is brilliant. So rest up well. because it won't be long, will it? Because in just a couple of months, the prices will be coming. In fact, it's not even a couple of months when the prices come out. It'll be a matter of weeks. And before you know it, Jules will be back in your ears, annoying you with his new alarm clock, missing deadlines probably, and promoting where all his other work is. Jules, where have you got to go now? It's 10:30 at night, but yeah, you've got to go and do another podcast, haven't you?
ESPN, the ESPN show, if you are in the States, it's right now.
We didn't actually so need to plug it, just say yes.
I've got to go, really.
Okay. Do you want to sing the listeners out?
I don't have the time. I need to go. Goodbye, everybody. Well done for your season, and we see you in July.